What? You, what? Oh, the football?
What?
Football. Bro, we have like a 40% female audience.
Not that
women don't like football.
No, you can't take that back. Don't walk that back. Sexist. No,
that's on the record. First of all, yes, I am the number one sexist.
Yeah.
Haven't you seen 80 for Brady?
Wait a second.
Those old bitches left.
I mean, it is fair to say that the audience, people who watch football, is mostly men.
Yes, that is a fair assessment, yeah. Bradley.
I don't agree with that.
Look at the demographic. Don't listen to anything he says. He's out of his fucking mind.
Oh, yeah.
Reject your thesis.
What are your socks? What's on your socks?
These are from the U.S. Open.
Tennis.
Golf?
They're withered.
So this is when Payne won the U.S. Open in Pinehurst. I'm from Pinehurst.
So. They're so withered. I thought it was a Jets sock.
Okay.
They bent through it,
bro.
Oh, my God.
Bro, they're so discolored. I thought, like, you know, you got those.
Hey,
last time
man.
The Jets had a fucking Super Bowl prospect or
I
something.
I like these socks.
They're okay, not bad. The socks aren't that bad. It's okay.
He's into my shit. Do you like football?
I used to watch a lot more football, for sure.
So not as much anymore. We're here with today, first of all.
We're here with Bradley motherfucking Martin, dude. The gorilla man himself.
Let's fucking go.
Sitting at 266 pounds.
60.
260 pounds at 6'4". This man can dunk.
Yeah,
he is an absolute demon.
Yes.
An absolute demon.
I like this intro.
Achilles reborn.
Yeah, I like this. Literally just a giant ape of a man.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of different guests on the show.
We really do.
There's varying excitement for everyone.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get the perfect guest where you both are locked in and excited. You're that guy.
Will is saying that, like, we're both excited to have you.
Yes.
Sometimes either he or myself are not as excited for the guests we have.
That's true.
It's good. So we're locked in.
Like when they're political commentators. was your favorite. That was your favorite episode.
There was an episode that they got so in the weeds with politics, like weird, like CIA psyop in Iran in 1986, and like
I'm definitely not that guy. Yeah.
Nor am I. And I just sat there for 2 hours, and I was like,
I was
crazy.
Pretty silent, too, to be fair. They talked a lot. They're podcasters, Chapo Trap House. You know, love them.
They're good boys.
And they, you know, they're podcasters, so they didn't shut the fuck up for, like, an hour and 30 minutes straight. Yeah. I think I got, like, probably 10 minutes of talking time. Will got zero.
Yeah.
Literally zero.
What were you thinking the whole time? You're just like, man.
I just was.
You were like, trying to
darkness, my old friend.
I was looking at the clock and the bottom.
Like, all right. Damn.
Yeah.
So why you guys both locked in on this one? Why do you think? Because you're both into the gym. Dude, you guys came here, first thing you said was you're looking small.
Yeah. Well, I think for us, and I'd love to talk to you about this, but we're both former fat kids.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that about him.
Current fat kid.
No,
but you're not fat.
Current fat kid, but thank you.
Now, we both used to be portly customers, and we still have those tendencies in our lives, right? We're both very, like, ready to overeat, and we both get excited by food, and I think there's this constant pursuit of trying to find fitness and physique and strength in our lives, and it's fun to kind of riff off one another because we always motivate one another, right? To the outside person, it might look very cruel when I come in like, what's up, fatty? Like, that kind of stuff. But I know that's love because he'd do the same for me. Yeah.
We used to do body offs back in the day where, I mean, he always had an advantage because he's a skinny bitch. But, you know, but our goal never was to like become beefier or anything. It was always to become more lean.
Better looking. Because
that's the hard. Yeah, that's the hardest part for me always. Like I can put on weight like that. It's so easy. I'll put on 10 pounds right now just thinking about it. Man. Don't test me.
I'm
265
don't
now.
Dare.
Yeah, it is interesting how everyone is so different when it comes to how well they either put on size or put on body fat, or it's hard to get it, like, I don't know, exactly right for everyone. And I think that's where people just continue to have problems with it. So I'm assuming you guys are gonna ask me about this kind of stuff, right? Like you
we'll talk
nope,
about
this is
it.
The only question about
that's it.
We'll talk about it. Because he has an unorthodox way of working.
Yeah.
I think. That I think actually for years I've thought is like not the best way to work out.
What is that way?
I'm like a CT Fletcher. There's no such thing as overtraining. You're a little bitch. Go harder.
All right.
You can always put more hours in.
He must also grow. Does like
I command you
he,
to grow.
He will like he'll eat like he doesn't track his macros or anything.
Nah, fuck that.
And he'll eat whatever, but like nothing unhealthy, like deeply unhealthy, right? But then he'll be like, you know the saying that everyone collectively acknowledges is true? You can't outwork your diet. He always is trying to outwork his diet.
Yeah.
But it's insane.
But you don't eat terrible.
No.
Yeah.
I just eat a lot.
That's kind of how I have been historically.
Okay, well, you're a different being.
Yeah, no, really. I really been that way.
Okay. Listen, he's operating with an entirely different mechanism here. Like, don't compare yourself to him.
Well, maybe if I just put more time in.
He's 200. What's your body fat percentage right now? You're 260 pounds.
Probably sub 12 at least.
That's what I'm saying. He's 260 pounds of pure muscle, dog.
That's insane.
So what's your basal metabolic rate?
That number right now?
Fuck the BMR.
That's based on like your age or height, your weight.
So
I mean, you could Google that.
Your basal metabolic rate. Yeah. This is actually a really good question because people probably don't know either.
Really good.
It's basically what your body burns just to operate.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's dependent on your. It's dependent on your lean muscle mass.
Sure.
It's dependent on your how heavy your muscle mass is, and you know whether you're sedentary or not as well. I guess that factors into your basal metabolic rate, or technically not.
That's excess, so that'd be outside. Yeah. Of it. Basal is like age, height, weight, like all just your body to function.
Mine is higher than you'd expect because I'm constantly clenching and unclenching my sphincter.
That would be no. That's actually that's a different that you're joking, but that's literally. Some people who are very fidgety unironically have a higher daily burn rate than others.
Isn't there some statistic where supermodels are disproportionately representative by ADHD people? Like there's a disproportionate percentage of them that are ADHD because they're constantly
moving, fidgeting. Yeah, that actually factors in. All of those like marginal differences in lifestyle lead to dramatically different results over over your entire lifespan.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I was just trying to figure out how many calories does Bradley Martin consume in one day where he's just maintenance. Like he's not fucking gaining weight or losing
I've actually had historically a really hard time eating enough food. That's been the hardest thing for me.
Oh, you were a skinny boy always?
Yeah.
Doesn't get us.
So yeah, I'm sorry.
He doesn't understand.
So sorry.
He doesn't understand our plight.
Yeah,
I was a hard gainer. You were a big boy because you're a big guy.
No, I was a hard gainer. I was very skinny, and I had to put on. I was stuffing myself to eat enough.
Grass is always greener, motherfucker.
Grass is always greener.
Yeah. He doesn't know.
I'm talking about So this is the thing I do know about though. I know about people. I remember when I first started getting into working out, and I wanted to put on muscle. My friends would make fun of me back when Facebook was a cool thing that everyone did, and they made an album. A very long time ago, obviously. Yeah. They made an album where it was Brad's Unfinished Meals. Because I was always talking about how I wanted to get. We're all kind of bodybuilders.
You left meals unfinished?
Yes, bro. And not on purpose. Not because I wanted to. Because I was so fucking stuffed and I would have a hard time eating it. So they would make fun of me. They'd take a picture of it and be unfinished meals.
That was so much work just to fuck with you.
It was pretty funny though.
You had the same relationship that we have.
Yeah, Connie. But so
we never leave meals unfinished.
No, I don't know. Our Facebook album would be one photo.
It's just empty. I lick the plate. If I like something, I'm like, well, I already factored in the calories for this. I'm gonna lick this.
See, the thing is, I got there. It just took I was to the point where I knew that I needed to eat more food because this is the thing. A lot of people say, oh, I eat enough food to gain weight. Like a lot of the harder gainer guys.
Yeah.
But they just don't. And they always ask the same question. What do I do to gain weight? Is it a workout thing? It's not. Working out will affect how you will perform or if you're going to grow muscle or if you're going to gain strength. But gaining weight, no matter what, you need to eat more food.
Yes.
And I got to the point where I'm literally eating food and I'm completely full and I'm swallowing by drinking the food, almost swallowing a pill to just keep eating.
Oh my God.
Dude, you don't understand.
I was force feeding myself.
That's my fantasy, dude. You're describing... You're describing a future where if there was a pill where I could do that, I would take that pill every day. I would just eat till I fucking feel disgusting.
That was my life.
Oh, that feels
good. But it was because I needed to gain weight and it was so hard. I couldn't swallow.
We gotta issue a trigger warning for eating.
Yeah, sorry guys. Holy so
fuck,
sorry.
Dude. We came out of the gate swinging on some bad shit. But I'll tell you this much, okay? Obviously, my entire family's obese. We have a history of it. We have a history of a litany of genetic diseases for that reason as well. I'm the only person in my family who has actually naturally been able to like lose the weight, have a six pack. I'm the only person in my family that ever had a six pack. The only person in my family who ever. It's such a weird thing to say.
It's like when someone's like, I'm the only person in my family to go to college. You're the one who's like,
I'm the black sheep in that fucking regard too. Out of my immediate family, I'm the only one without a fucking master's in anything. So yeah. They're all academics and shit, but they're also all obese. I went the other way.
It's where, interesting.
But the reason why I brought that up is because like, it's obviously social learning. That like unhealthy diet choices, like it's something that you learn, something that becomes a part of you, but there's also a genetic component there too, a genetic factor there. I have it on the worst on all ends. My brother got a gastric bypass, my father got a gastric bypass, like the full Damn. Monty, where they even cut into his fucking intestines too. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's intense.
A bunch of surgeries. They're actually working on doctors are getting pretty fucking crazy with it. It's something I want to talk about. They are now suggesting it to children. Gastric bypass. If Damn. You have childhood obesity, I think it's like you have 50% chance. If you have childhood obesity, 50% chance of becoming an adult with obesity or an adolescent with obesity. If you are an adolescent with obesity, 70% chance you're an adult with obesity.
Okay, let me say, this is the thing that's, and this is a broader topic on what you're just saying. This is starting to piss me off how like, we are like prescribing these things without the real problem, because there's so many things that come along with a surgery like that, that people don't understand that actually can be like, I was talking to Big Boy. He had the same thing done. You know, the Big Boy's radio.
No.
So he's a big time. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so, he's been on radio forever.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
He was huge and he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. Okay?
And he got the surgery and he said that like, yeah, he's like figured out a way to move through his life where it's like efficient now.
Yeah.
But it was a very hard thing for him. So
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff that comes along with it. And the thing that frustrates me about the thing you just said is like, we're not fixing the problem. We're like band-aiding everything and we're encouraging a band-aid for this yeah. shit where it's like, the problem is people's like understanding or know-how or like willingness to try to eat less shit or like enforce yeah. better habits.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're not telling kids like, you know, you're the parent. We can't tell the parent, you know, stop doing this, but that's where it starts. Right.
It's also more complicated than that.
Of too, course.
Though. Like you're absolutely correct, because like the gastric bypass, which is a crazy surgery, they literally cut your stomach and like make it smaller. Sometimes they even cut into your intestines and like make it smaller. Like my dad has no stomach basically.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same way that like, this is going to be weird to explain, but like a dog will eat food and immediately shit it out, right? Because like it's just passing through the body like of an yeah. animal super fast, but, and it's just like picking up whatever it can along the way. That's the same as like my dad's system. And he lost hundreds of pounds with this and his life genuinely improved. But the problem is the body is so complex that like if you don't actually build sustainable, healthy dietary habits, you're fucked. You're going to relapse even with that surgery.
And here's the thing too, revolving around what you just said, as you talk about passing through with the efficiency like that, you're now missing out on all the nutrients and all the other yeah. stuff that you need to function properly as a human.
Yeah.
Right. So now you're cutting this thing that like the rest of your life, now you're going to be taking all these other supplements in order to like maintain proper health.
So yeah. devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Let's say you're someone who just cannot get on a routine, right? Because I'm very sympathetic to that in the sense that when I am stressed, when I have a fucked up day,
yeah.
when something goes radically wrong, for me, I go find food.
Did you say radically on purpose?
Yeah, my dad okay. always does that. I don't know why he All says
radically. Because he laughed and I was like, I'm not
silly
sure.
Wabbit. Yeah.
But okay. like I go find food.
Right? Yeah.
It's like a comfort thing for me. So you don't think, even though there is a lot of drawback to it, which I get, and I'm sure all the people that go into a gastric bypass are terrified, right? It's a surgery. You don't think that there's some net benefit in perhaps limiting diabetes and all the other things yeah. that come.
I do, hold on. But the thing you just said prior to that was what? You said moments ago, you do something because of what? What were your reasons?
Oh, dude, I turn to food for
He's a binge eater and yeah, stress yeah, eater. Okay, me
for
too.
Sure.
Though, see, this is what I'm saying. Like, there's nothing wrong if you absolutely need something because, like, you've just tried everything. And, like, I was talking to, remember, Ethan about even, like, this whole, like, antidepressant thing. I'm going to make this about this conversation right now. But the thing that you're describing is your inability to create change within yourself sure. and your own habits And then you're saying, well, I'll just do this thing. Right?
Right.
So there's a greater issue. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that like if you've done everything in your power to try to fix it or change it or like overcome it or understand it, then like maybe it's what you need to do. But if you can rightfully say, well, there's these reasons why I end up in this place, these reasons why are the things you have to address first. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like your inability to like stop yourself in these moments, there's something deeper for you as a human,
for sure,
that is more important to like try to understand,
for sure,
instead of just go, you know what, I'm just going to take that and just do that. Cause then now you've like, yeah, maybe you've bypassed this issue, but now you have a whole host of other issues that you need to like figure out.
Counterpoint.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cookies are fucking delicious.
Bro, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. And they make me feel so good.
That's true. Okay, I'm not going to lie, man, dude.
What do you have to say about cookies?
No, let's talk about this for real. Like, I love food. I love food so much. The story I was telling earlier was like, now I have a hard time not eating food.
Yeah.
When I was younger, it was like, I was forcing it to like basically increase my gut size so that I could eat more food to try to gain more weight. But now I love food. And I understand completely how like, fucking addictive it is. Yeah. But it's like, there's just other things that I go, okay, well, what else do I really want? Like, how do I really want to feel?
So let's zoom out. Would you consider yourself a type A person?
Like a psychopath?
No.
I'm considering
there's,
myself.
There's like type A and type B. We're like type A people are like very regimented. They're organized. They are meticulous. Type B are like kind of your... you know, like us, like scattergun approach. Like,
well, I would say I'm a mix of both. Almost really? Like, yeah. It based on what you just described it.
Yeah.
Like I'm not super regimented, but I know what works for me. And I know like my bandwidth, how far I can go. Yeah. Without I'm like, okay, I have to change this or pull back. But I am super kind of like, I don't know, like OCD with certain things where my brain just kind of like goes over them so many times, even though I already know like whatever the answer is. And I just keep recounting it.
Do you think that kind of affects or improves your ability to bodybuild and strength train?
Probably, yeah. Because it's like, I feel like it's just like this idea that it's not enough. Yeah. So I just kind of keep going. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Like I remember in school, I would always study. My like form of studying was I would just like look at something enough. And then I would just like recount the information in my mind. And I wasn't really like, I don't know if I was really understanding as much as I was just like memorizing things. Yeah. So a lot of my life is like, just doing things in this repetitive nature. And then I just like, I can't unknow it because I've done it so many times that I just know it. So for bodybuilding, if we're talking about training, it was just that same, like, I need to do these things because I did these things before. And for me to get better, I need to do these things plus more of these other things. And if I let go of these things that I've already done in my, I don't know, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but like it would always felt like it had to compound. Like I couldn't stop. If I did these 10 things and then did these, I had to do these 10 things and then these. And then everything else, and then start from the beginning always.
You're describing how, you know, I mean, this sounds almost like one of those books where it's like how to build healthy habits for your mind. But like, that is how I have also been able to accomplish things that I always wanted to accomplish. And it's something that I tell people all the time. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. For example, you know, I recognize this is a bit of a cliche, but like it takes 21 days of like consistency to build a healthy habit, usually around 2 to 3 to break it, depending on how long you've actually had that healthy habit, right? Going to the gym every day, for example,
absolutely.
Brushing your teeth, like tracking your macros, shit like that. I have always had short-term goals and long-term goals, and my short-term goals will, you know, lead to me unlocking my midterm goals and then ultimately my long-term goals. And that's like what most people, I think, build around. It's like calories in, calories out. Most diets are centered around that fundamental aspect of calories in, calories out. You can like, you know, put a different twist on it. But I feel like that is at the heart of how to accomplish goals that you set for yourself.
Yeah, and absolutely. Succeed,
pretty much. I want to go back to the conversation that we had about food in general. And because I feel like there was a couple things that I wanted to address there. You're absolutely correct. I think that internally, a diet, you can have an unhealthy diet, you can have a healthy diet. Doesn't matter. It's still a diet. It's what you're putting in your body.
Yes.
Okay, it's fuel. It can taste good, it can taste bad, doesn't matter. Ultimately, if you don't have a sustainable diet for the rest of your life, you're going to yo-yo. You're going to swing 100%. Back. You're going to gain weight. And that's why the gastric bypass, without actually like reconfiguring your healthy choices that you're supposed to be making, developing a better understanding of like what your body needs, and, you know, having like a good macronutrient, having a good understanding of like different percentages of macros that you need to get to feed yourself. Without any of that, you're just basically kind of forcing your body to just eat less, and you will always lose weight that way. Absolutely. Because ultimately, you know, you're just eating less. But that's precisely the reason why a lot of people that do get that surgery end up like developing addiction to things. Like a lot of people develop like a intense sugar craving. Some people have become addicted to alcohol. I think like I've heard.
But this makes sense because we're talking about the whole idea of the process of going through fast. When you don't have enough, like the vitamin, the minerals, the nutrients, and your body's not able to readily absorb those things, that's when you crave other things.
Yeah.
So that's why when people diet really hard, they're like, man, I just need to eat. I want to eat. Like, I remember one point I'm dieting really hard for like a show, and I craved the fuck out of these dried mangoes. And I love mangoes in general, but I love dried mangoes, and I just couldn't eat enough. And when I started eating them, I was like ravenous. I could eat bags and bags of these things.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was never enough. So it's like when you diet super hard, which is this gastric bypass kind of is internally making you do that all the time. You
just can't eat anything.
Yeah. So your body's not uptaking all these other things that are going to make you feel like I'm satiated. Like I'm hungry. I don't need this. Like I don't feel like I need this sugar. I don't feel like I need this. We're talking about alcohol, whatever. But there's other things that'll like pull towards, and everyone's uniquely different in this respect. But
that's
where you create these issues. And I think it's funny because the thing that happens long term, we talk about what you were just saying. The thing that you need to fix prior to like doing this or not doing this, making this decision, is like your habits around your diet. Because once you do it, you're forced to fix it. Because if not, then you're going to run into these other issues.
Yeah.
So it's like the other way to fix it is the proper like supplementation and actually knowing what you're eating, what you should be eating, and then all these other things that revolve around that so that you feel good after a surgery, which is like, what if you just did that first?
Yeah. Well, that's why before the surgery, even though like doctors don't really follow on this, at least anecdotally, I know this from two close family members who have done it, but they tell you, you got to lose 30 pounds on your own before we do the surgery. One, they say it's because like they want to make sure you're healthy enough for the surgery, so you don't die during the process of the surgery.
Yeah.
But I legitimately think it's because they want to instill healthy, like they want to make sure that you can lose the weight first and foremost so you can like continue eating properly after. But the reality is, because it just like when you do the surgery, when you come out of the surgery, you drink water, you want to throw up. You eat like to this day, if my dad eats more than he's like, you know, more than a couple bites of food, he literally like feels like he has to throw up. Same with my brother.
I'm wondering just like, what is that mentally? Is your dad clear? Is he like, hey, I feel great? Or, you know, like,
I think when you're at the precipice of like when you're literally have to be in a medically induced coma at a certain point because of how obese you are. Yeah. And then like you come back from that and you no longer have diabetes. You know what I mean? I think like, yes, you are definitely better off
for sure.
If you're like almost dead and you can't walk and then you can do all of those things again. Like,
well, I didn't know all this. I didn't know that was to that extent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. It's not like when I say obese, I'm talking like my whole family's more
like real
obese.
Deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like,
fuck.
Like my dad was like television obese.
Like when they put him on the
wow. Like
holy
almost.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy
he
was, shit.
He isn't anymore. I don't think you've ever even seen my dad like that obese.
No.
Tall guy, though, obviously.
He's a tall guy. Yeah,
okay.
But like, yeah, he was like hundreds of pounds. I don't even know how I'm fucking.
Like 300 plus?
300. Try fucking like almost five, I think.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Bro, I was 320 pounds. I was 320 pounds at my peak. And like, I always had a little bit of muscle. Like, I always had muscle underneath too, but like, I was pretty obese too.
Yeah. But 500 is different.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, yeah. He's in a different league. Yeah. Damn. My brother was like 300 and he got it. And it definitely helped him. But like now he has to still diet. You just got to still diet because he relapsed. Like he gained a lot of weight. Now he's losing it again. So yeah, these are healthy habits that you need to instill upon yourself. But it makes it. It's really hard because food is very addictive. Like certain types of food is very addictive. So good, that's like really bad for you. Ultimately, if you have too much of it.
Why is that a thing, bro? Why the fuck is that a thing?
Scientists, figure it out.
The like fuck it's kind of pissing. Madness. I don't think they want
how the
to,
fuck
dude.
Do they work.
Yeah.
Conspiracies.
No, it just like pisses me off that like delicious shit. I want to have so much of it. Like pizza. I want to have pizza all the time, bro, nonstop.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah, because it's just carbs and fucking fat. Like, it's just literally scientifically created to make you want
to
eat.
I think it's like, it goes back to like sensation of fullness, right? And that's what like overeaters seek. And it's not like, oh, I'm satiated. It's like my insulin is fucking crashing and I can fall asleep now. That is like what you create.
So good.
And that's like billions of years of evolution, right? Where like if a chimpanzee found like a really fatty corpse, right? Fat is so precious in nature. If you watch any survival show, guys are dying eating rabbits and moose and all this kind of stuff because there's no fat. So you can eat all the protein you want, but you cannot sustain without fat. So your brain, when you find fat, is like, you just hit the gold mine, motherfucker. Lay that shit down.
Problem is when we mix it with carbs.
Big time.
That's when you fucked it up. But it tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so good. But yeah, Benji, you just described like, he is basically scientifically describing what is the reason why people like fucking gorge themselves.
Yeah. Which is crazy though, because it's like, that's not our life anymore.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
We need to adjust. But there's a lot of things we've had to adjust.
We got Postmates, dog.
I was like that my entire life. And I never actually changed it up. I actually just started doing OMAD, one meal a day. Made it much easier to track my calories. And I still got that sensation. Until 2 years ago when I like, during COVID, when I couldn't work out, like lost all my muscle mass, atrophied, and pretty much put back every single pound in fat and then some, shot back up to like 280. And I was fucking so depressed. I just like couldn't move. Everything felt slow. Couldn't breathe after like 50 minutes of standing. I just hated myself. I was like so insanely depressed. And then when I went back into it, I tried doing OMAD again and I couldn't. So now the way I basically have trained myself to not do that and not seek that pleasure anymore.
Well, how'd you train yourself to not do that?
Slowly but surely. This is like weird because like dietitians would probably prescribe this as like to someone with an eating disorder. But slowly but surely I started breaking my fast early and then just like training myself to basically eat meals without feeling like intensely full. And now I have two meals a day instead of one meal a day.
But how do you make yourself not feel intensely full just because you started eating smaller meals?
Yeah. How do you fucking,
it's funny though. Cause like,
how do you train yourself to diet adequately?
It's exactly. Just like, that's what you did.
The same shit.
Yeah.
It's always the same shit. It's literally, it's like a muscle. You just train it. Yeah. You train yourself.
Deep shame when you get to that, that real gorge.
Sometimes I still break, like, but God damn.
I always tell this story. That, like, I was a big boy, but Hassan was totally different level. We went to Vegas. We went to a buffet. You know, the buffets in Vegas, bro, they're amazing. Insane. They're legendary.
Yeah.
So incredible. We're sitting there and we're throwing down everything. You know what I mean? All cider ribs, plate at fettuccine Alfredo. Why not? And we go through this and we're both just like sucking wind. Just. And Hassan's like, man, I got to get a dessert, bro. And I was like, I don't know. I'm kind of. And he's like, I got to get a dessert. And I was like, all right, bet. Go grab something. Like, let's work through it. My man came back. I've never seen anybody do this. Took the platter that was housing an entire pie of pizza. And he brought it back and put it on the table. And he's like, I was like, dude, that's not dessert. And he's like, I know, but I saw it look so good. He sat there after we gorged ourselves at a buffet and ate an entire pie of pizza by himself, like burrito style. Like he folded the motherfuckers. There were no slices in it.
Like that?
So good.
Oh my God, like a pizza burrito.
You don't understand, bro. I've had sugar hangovers. This is like a medical phenomena where I eat so many cookies and pizza are my two biggest weaknesses, right? And like, I have eaten so many cookies at a certain point, like I'm talking 30, 40, right? Like these are 300 calories a cookie and I'm eating like 30, I'm throwing 30 of these back. Like there's no tomorrow. So much so that my tongue hurts.
Bro, what the
fuck? Like my body is literally telling me like, dude, you have to stop. My body is so overstimulated by cookies.
The chocolate is melting.
You don't feel like your heart's pounding?
Yeah.
Yo, that's twisted.
Yeah.
That's fucking talking twisted. About it like we're in a recovery meeting. And it's like, we just needed one hit, man.
Dude, what the fuck?
Dude, and it's like, my body is like saying to me, basically, to my brain, this is poison now. Like, stop eating it.
Yeah.
Like, it. Please, please stop eating it. It's poison. And I'm still like, just shoving it down my gullet. And then the next day, I'm literally like, I'm faded. Like, you know, when you get cloudy after smoking weed the next day, or like you get hungover from drinking. It was like that. I had a sugar hangover the next day.
Bro, that's
like
insane.
Shit. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't do it anymore, obviously.
Fuck.
But
I've had times like this. I have had moments. I have had moments after, like, I did competition shit where, like, it became a super issue to, like, just stop eating. Like, I remember I could eat, like, pints of this Ben & Jerry's ice cream, like, 3 pints in one sitting.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was just disgusting.
That's crazy. And I would do it every night. What is that, like, 3,000 calories of ice cream?
Just ice cream.
So, I love ice cream. I still eat a pint of ice cream. I just substituted it to fucking Nix's one brand that is new that I really love. They do like Swedish ice cream. Halo Top is another one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I can't though. When I do that, I'm like, it's just not what I wanted. Like, if I'm going to cheat, I'm going to cheat.
Like, I can trick my brain. Like, I trick my brain.
I can't, dope. Dude. I eat it and I know this is not it.
No, I know. But I have a huge sweet tooth. It works for me. It doesn't work for everybody.
You know what works for me, which is not a cheat. It's not like a breaking the cheat. I eat, you know, like vegan ice creams.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, it's vegan. I'm like, I'm good.
Dog, what? You're a trainer. You know that's not real.
I know.
It's still like sugar. 700 calories.
It's just more. But I'm like, it's vegan. Fuck it. I'm good.
Yeah, they pump that shit full of sugar. Oh, so much. But it's so good. And it's less protein, too. What the fuck? It's like literally worse for you. I'm going to say this, bro. Yo, try Fairlife.
Cool House. Yeah. Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's crack.
Oh, 500 calories per pop, though. Oh, can you play with that a little bit? That one fucks up sometimes.
Got an iffy cable. Wait,
speak into it.
No?
Yeah, you can hear him. Yeah. Okay, Cool House ice cream. Oh, what the fuck? Okay, speak into it again.
Yeah, we good? Solid?
Okay.
Good? Okay, yeah, dude, Cool House is fucking insane. That's why, like those ice cream sandwiches, the vegan ones with the, I know they have extra sugar too, because I read it. I'm like, oh, it's vegan.
With the chocolate chip cookies?
Yes. Oh, bro.
Oh, insane. So good.
I like literally fucking order this shit late at night. I feel ashamed of myself.
I love that. I love the Cool House ice cream sandwiches. First of all, they're like barely vegan, dog.
Do you
what post the fuck?
Make Cool House
ice cream? No, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah,
that's
forget I said that.
That's a double level game.
That was a place.
Postmating shit you can get at the grocery store.
I used to do that with this. There was a vegan ice cream place in Hollywood that I used to order from. They made ice cream sandwiches, and they would have like snickerdoodle cookies as the fucking, it was vegan. Snickerdoodle cookies as the base of like the sandwich. And then the middle ice cream part was like, they called it like cotton candy or something, which I never thought I would like, but it was so fucking delicious.
Bro.
I mean, those are like around, if you have like 500, 600 calories and you like really want to have that, you can, that's allowed.
I eat them still. Yeah. I love them, man.
I would love to see how long it would take a chimpanzee with a Postmates account to kill himself. But, you know what I mean? Like how dogs have those panels where they're like, go outside.
Yeah.
And it's like a chimpanzee and he can order things.
Like a week. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know that like picture of the orangutan with like the breath.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's one of the funniest memes.
Yeah.
That would be him at the zoo just going, five guys.
Bro.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God. Did I fuck it up again?
No, it's still working. Okay. It's working.
Oh.
But yeah, I just, fuck, man. God, I love food. There's just nothing more to say other than that. Yeah. I just love food. You just got to deal with it. But no, I was saying, like, I cheat with Smart Sweets is another brand I use.
Oh, that's like the sour stuff.
Dude, yeah. But it's really good because, like, it has a lot of fiber in it. It's 100 calories per pack.
I see.
And it, you know, you get like a little. It tricks my brain into thinking that I'm like consuming, you know, jelly beans or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, cause I love candy like that, but it's so packed with fucking fiber. It's awesome. Like it's kind of filling. It's kind of filling at night. I have that cause I have to have my night candy, which is like the worst thing.
My night candy.
Yeah, it's the worst thing.
The fact that you say I have to have my night candy,
yeah,
you should start addressing that.
No, I have. That's what I'm saying.
But not like, with night candy. Like, address it outside of the candy.
That sounds like it could be the next Frank Ocean album.
No, straight up.
Night candy?
That's some accurate shit.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was good. Yeah. Holy shit.
My night candy.
Fuck, dude. Yeah,
but like, it sounds way sexy and cooler when you say it like that. It's just candy at the bedside. Just
on my side table.
On my nightstand.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. All right, I have something I want to talk about today. Okay. Topic change. We're getting into it. Definitively, scientists.
I'm not a scientist, but go ahead.
They have reversed the aging process in mice. They have been successful. I saw this. You can pull up a picture, Billy Ray Brains. I saw this. Where there's a picture of this old-ass mouse, and then he looks like a young Chad mouse again.
It's like he's fucking all the other mouse.
Yeah, dude. They brought this mouse back. He had like holes in his ears and shit.
Tearing mice.
Yeah.
He's tearing mice pussy.
Look at this dude. He had holes in his motherfucking ears.
I feel like now
he looks great.
I feel like there's a little edited.
You think they Photoshop filtered
just a
mice?
Just a little bit. Like they put a little bit. They face tuned him a little I feel like they colored
it. That's like the Kris Jenner filter.
He's so used to the TikTok fitfluencers and shit. He's like, insane. Nah, I see that. I've seen that.
So
it's not natty.
Actually did this?
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. How do we feel about that?
Well, it's because if the Avatar came out, they were talking about the stuff from the whales. It's like, that's what's happening now.
Yeah, they found the whale juice.
They found the whale juice?
Yeah.
God damn.
Dude, I mean,
how do you feel about that?
Great. I love medicine, man. I'm a big advocate for steroids too. Like, I wish that it was
more socially acceptable.
I wish that you know, it wasn't regarded with like such disdain, so that, you know, scientists could like really study it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And fucking give me some over-the-counter Anavar, dog. That's what I want.
Yo, that's so
I want
funny.
That shit so bad because it's like...
But here's the eternal question.
What?
Are you living forever if you get the chance? Are you reversing the aging process and just sticking around? Or is life this beautiful ephemeral moment that needs to end to have any kind of meaning?
You got to have all the homies on that too, though. Because like, you can't be the only one alive. That's boring.
So
after
if you're
a while.
Living forever, I'm by proxy. Yeah, we're doing it together. Okay.
Yeah, we got to get the family on board.
Good question, though.
Yeah.
Really good question. I think, like you said, like you could definitely wouldn't want to do that alone. Then it's like, imagine that where you see all your loved ones like dying,
disappear,
right?
Because it's going to be expensive.
Definitely going to be expensive. I don't know. I feel like that, like you said, the last part of your question was, answers it. It's like if life is just forever, then is it really what it is, or is that just a new version of what life is?
Yeah,
because like how we see it and how we regard and like our, I think as humans, like our desire to achieve certain things or to have certain things is also based on the fact that our time here is pretty finite, at least with the time that we have here on this earth. Depending on, obviously people believe different religions, different things, like what's happening after, but our actual time here, I think part of the beautiful thing of life is that it ends and it allows us to want to succeed and to go so far.
Yeah.
So if you took that away because it was just something, which obviously maybe you couldn't get to that thing if you didn't have enough money anyway. So like you'd have to get there to that finish line.
I think our motivations would change dramatically.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I have a different opinion on this. If life was like almost infinite,
can you imagine
how much pizza you could eat, like
a 108 year old dude still living with his mom, where he's like, "I'm gonna go to college, mom. I'm only 108.
No, but
give me some time to figure it out."
No, but that's what I mean. Like there are one thing that has happened as life expectancy has like increased dramatically over the course of, you know, humankind living on this planet is that like we now have more time to, I think, experience childhood in a different way, where you're not like becoming a chimney sweep at the age of 7. You know what I mean? You're not like, oh, what am I gonna do about the fucking 401k? You're smoking a bug. You're like 7, dog, chill. So I think that is a good thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Overall. And I feel like maybe we take things slower. And not in like oh, you're lame, you're procrastinating kind of way, but almost in like a fucking zen.
Yes.
Like,
but
allow yourself to experience life.
I think where that opens up some people to experiencing life, I think that also creates a huge dilemma, right? And we've seen this, I think, with a lot of young men, where because they don't have an imperative to grow up, or like they're lying in a spear moment where they're challenged to go out and like find strength within themselves, they become lost. They become listless. like, and this kind of plays into that incel narrative or whatever, just young men who are unrealized, that are lost, and they're willing to ascribe to hokum or snake oil merchants because they're so kind of lost in their life, and they don't have a direction. They don't have a way to push forward.
And you think living forever would make that, it would exacerbate that? Oh,
so bad.
Yeah, no, I totally see that. That's why I'm saying, like, you know, we need to keep people busy somehow still.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the need for that for sure. Ultimately, that comes from within, though. You just got to kind of want it. And I think a lot of these people, like, do, well, it's not very Marxist of me to say, actually. There's two points to this. One, you got to do it from within. Like, that's an internal want, an internal desire. I've never for a moment in my life ever thought that I wasn't destined for greatness. It sounds very weird to say, but I always, from the jump, possibly due to, like, really good parenting, I was always like, no, I'm going to fuck shit up. I'm going to tear it up. And I was a fucking loser. I don't know where the fuck I got this attitude from.
Right.
But I was like, I was a fat kid who drew, like, nonstop. I was just drawing comic book scenes. And you know, socially outcast from, like, my Turkish peers at the time. And I still was like, nah, one day I'm just going to fuck shit up.
Did you feel like that?
Absolutely. Did I? I was going to, we'll talk about it. I want to ask you this. Did I ask you this on my podcast? Did I ask you about that? That idea of like feeling like there was, when you were younger, that there was something.
I don't think so.
So my question to you, you just said you've always felt that way, right?
Yeah.
Where do you feel it? Was it a thing in your mind? You're like, I know that I have this, or was it like in your heart? Like, where did you feel it? Was it like, you know, you have these inner dialogues with ourselves?
Yeah. It was not, I don't think it was logical. I just always was like,
It doesn't have to be logical. I'm just saying, where was it? It was in your mind.
I think originally it was not logical. It was in my heart, in my soul, if you will, right? Where I was just like, I had dreams of like really just achieving a lot of success, no matter where it was. It wasn't like fully realized. It wasn't like fully put together. It wasn't as like structured as like, I'm going to go to this college and then I'm going to do this. Like, cause I just thought no matter what I do, I'm going to be good at it. I'm going to be successful at it. I know that I can, you know, work hard and achieve those things. Right. That was a thing that definitely motivated me when I was younger, but I never actually had that. I had never realized the results of it. So I always felt like I was being undermined and other people did not see the value that I saw within myself for a very long time until, and this is a really pivotal moment in my life, I achieved one of the dreams I always had, which was to sound silly, but to finally be an athletic person, to be able to dunk and to have a six pack. That sounds so vapid, so shallow, and so stupid.
I love that.
It was something that I wanted my entire life and was never able to get it. So when I actually fucking, you know, said, fuck this, I'm doing it. And over the course of 1 year, went from 280 pounds all the way down to like 220 pounds or 300 pounds to 225 pounds. 12%, 13% body fat. Was able to dunk. Was like putting up, really great numbers in the gym. I realized this was the most, like, this was the apex of all achievement for me. And I realized the value of hard work there, where I was like, oh, I can achieve anything I want as long as I just fucking put my head down and no matter how tough things get, keep pushing away at the problem. Like Sisyphus fucking Boulder just
up the mountain.
Go exactly, up the mountain.
This is exactly what my whole life is based on.
Like, yeah.
The whole gym thing is just a physical representation of like consistency over time and going through shit that's hard, that hurts, and then it makes you better. Like everything you just described is like how everything, you know, even earlier we're talking about dieting and like overcoming these things. Like obviously there's certain issues like genetically that you can't just like, if you're predisposed, you can't just like overcome.
I mean, I had a lot of those.
Yeah. And it sounds like that.
Yeah.
So it's like you even overcame a lot of that things like clearly, and you still figured your shit out and you don't have a gastric bypass surgery. Like,
no, yeah.
That's fucking life to me. Yeah. And I wish, yeah. I don't know.
But it translates to other avenues in my life is what I'm saying. Like,
that's why you have this shit.
Because it gave me the confidence to believe in myself. It finally, I produced results in one area that seemed more unachievable than anything else. Like it always seemed like a dream that I could never get to, that I always dreamt of. Yeah. And once I was able to do that through consistency and through hard work, I realized I can translate to that to anything else that I want to achieve. Yeah. So it gave me that confidence, which is why even when I got really fat, like I was like, oh no, it's fine. I can recover from this. And I have like went back on it and now I have a consistent regimen. I'm working out super hard. I've been injured many times, had many setbacks throughout that process, had moments where I like relapsed or whatever. But ultimately I know that I have that confidence because I've done it one time.
One thing I would say about fitness, though, that's like amazing to me is a lot of people ask me, like, how do I start a fitness routine? How do I get into going to the gym? Because I'm a gym rat. I love it. It's meditative for me. It's a huge part of my process. And if I didn't have the gym, I'd freak out. What I always say is fitness, gym work is the closest thing on this planet to alchemy, right? There are so many things where we put so much into them, your career, your relationships, and you might not get one-to-one out. Right? You put something in and for whatever reason, luck, you know, you might not get the same results out. The gym, fitness, it's always one-to-one. Put these things in and you will get something out. And that is like the closest thing to
in a long enough timeline. Yes. And especially if you're doing the right things.
Here's the deal in relation to what you just said. It's when you say one-to-one, it's because of self, right?
Yeah.
But the ironic thing about that is like, it's true for all this other stuff. We as humans though have such a hard time accepting when like something outside of ourself doesn't go the way that we want it to be, like a relationship or a business or a friendship, whatever, that we make that about ourselves. But the truth is that's just part of our experience. And I think the more humans could understand that like that core value, one-to-one relationship with ourself, that's what matters in all of these other avenues, whether they work out the way we want them to work out or not. Yeah. Because how we truly ultimately want those things to work out. Like, for example, if you want love, you have to be able to give love, right? And vice versa. So if you're not able to fully love yourself, you're not able to fully love another person.
True.
So everything does come down to ourselves and us, not in a selfish way, but just in a way where it's like, I think people, you know, we talk about all these other topics, food and all that stuff. We have such a hard time accepting we need to be that change and we need to be better. So yeah. We constantly look for outside things like, oh, I'll get a gastric bypass surgery. Not that it's not a good idea. In some cases, it is. But we always look for this like outside external thing to like fix us.
Yeah.
When the reality is it is from within, right? There are certain things, like I said, genetic predispositions that you cannot change that you will need to figure out some sort of help if you have that ability. But it's interesting you talk about this. I just think it's so important for people to realize like this thing of self, this one-to-one transaction, because you're right. You go to the gym, the food you put in your body, the water you put in the body, it's all going to have this output that you're going to get from the work that you put in.
So what's going to be people's catalyst for having that realization? Because you can, there's a difference between going, okay, it has to be me, and then actually having that change.
Okay. Goes back to what he said earlier. There is just, for some reason, and I felt the same exact way about my life, when I had nothing, there was no reason to believe this. Despite all my circumstances, I was like, I just want so much more out of my life. And I wanted to ask you this, we were talking about it. I have no idea where that came from. I have no idea.
It's gotta be parenting.
It wasn't even parenting. Like I grew up without a father. My mom wasn't like, you can be anything in the world. Like it just happened. I feel like you just have it. If you put it just genetically, just have it.
I think, no, I don't think it's like genetic predetermination.
You don't think so?
I think it's numerous components that factor into it and it's different for everyone. But I think like a level of privilege certainly plays a role in it. Even if you're like, I think that probably plays a role in it. Yeah. Like if, for example, being a straight white dude is like, obviously it doesn't fix everything and you still have plenty of struggles to overcome.
Yeah, but it's pretty sick, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's white guys, you know, straight white guys like, just killing it. But there are a lot of additional hurdles that you don't have to overcome not being that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That probably like the way society is designed, it probably like the fucking main characters that you see in movies and shit, like that builds your brain up in a way where you're like, maybe I am destined for greatness. Like all these other fucking dudes that look like me have done it. Without even realizing it, you kind of internalize that. For me, like I had all these, you know, issues, but ultimately I think I had a great upbringing. And, you know, I'm Turkish. I'm growing up in Turkey. There isn't like from a upper class, like privileged, affluent family. I think that probably was one of the main reasons why I always felt like, you know, I got it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like a level of privilege that also kind of guides you that way. My goal always is to also change the system so that everyone can feel that. everyone can feel like this is a welcoming and not hostile society, and that you can also achieve your results. But
so here's the thing, man.
And also fix the material conditions underlying.
I somewhat disagree, because I don't think it's about changing the system. I think it's about people changing themselves. Because when you talk about privilege, I grew up without a father. My father hung himself when I was 6 in the garage.
Jesus Christ.
And I just want to say this really quickly. Like, I don't think I was privileged by any means, because in my mind as a 6-year-old and I'm start growing up, I look at everyone around me and I was like, why don't I have the things that they have? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have, like, I'm not experiencing the things that I wish these other people had. Like, I wish I had them, right? And still in my mind, though, I still had that conclusion that, like, man, I still feel like despite my circumstances, there's something more for me. And that's why I keep going back to this idea. Like, I think there's some other thing there. And, like, the ironic part about this whole idea of, so you talk about fixing the system, is, like, we are the system, right?
The system is comprised of all of us, but ultimately, like, it truly, and even going back to the diet thing, like, it truly and genuinely legitimately changes people's outlook without even people realizing it. Well, that's why America and Mexico have such higher rates of obesity than fucking Europe, because little things like that you would never even consider, like walkable cities in Europe and public transportation, for example, and then also what kind of foods that they're not allowed to eat as a consequence of their own FDA, you know, banning certain types of shit, is the reason why they're skinnier on average than the American, because Americans drive Ford Raptors and fucking and the only type of, like, exercise that they have in their otherwise sedentary lifestyles is when they go to the gym. But yeah, but, like, that is absolutely something that you never would consider that factors into your life. You just got to ask yourself, like, wait a minute, why the fuck are these Europeans so goddamn skinny?
But I do think there's something to what he is saying, that, like, there are people that create an end zone for themselves. And I think when you, for whatever reason, develop this image of, like, that's myself down the road, this is what I ascribe to, it creates a place in your mind where you can steer into suffering. You can steer into discomfort because there is an end zone, even if it's just something you've created.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to think about, like, what is it that creates that end zone? For me, I'm really different than you guys. I never thought that I was, like, destined for greatness. My motivator, and I've always told you this, was vengeance. Everybody who was cruel to me, everybody, you know, who underestimated me, I was like, well, I'm either going to burn out or I'm going to be better than they are. I'm going to show them what I can do.
Yeah.
And that was always I burned dirty just the whole way. Like, that's, you know, Rock Lee, steer into suffering,
shit. For the record, I'm not saying that, like, your personal want and personal desires for self-improvement are not an important factor in this. Absolutely it is. But, like, I'll give you another, like, macro picture of this. Like the reason why there aren't, you know, incredible comp sci engineers coming out of Zimbabwe is not because, like, they are not dreaming hard enough. Like, we all recognize it is because, like, well, these motherfuckers don't have access to clean water. I think that's, like, probably something that needs to be solved first before people can, like, dare to dream in that way. So that's why I always talk about, like, fixing material problems, underlying material problems in society, to unlock the potential of people who otherwise are not even, like, thinking about that
I mean, I understand that.
Of course, I think we were both thinking outside the Kalahari Bushmen.
I'm giving that extreme example because, like, it's one that everyone immediately understands. It's like, oh yeah, that's right.
No, I get it. I totally get it. I think at its core, though, like, if you can't immediately fix these issues that are surrounding society and people and circumstances of groups of people,
yeah,
you can, though, start within yourself. And that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. Is that idea. Absolutely.
Because to zoom out and focus on what he's saying, there are plenty of people with every advantage.
Still fuck it up.
Yeah, that never find that self-motivation.
As a matter of fact, a lot of people that come from, like, super rich families, like, you see them, they have fucking fail sons. Like, fail daughters because, like...
Or they become cops.
Because they... because they haven't, like... They haven't done... They haven't had enough, like, healthy adversity even in their lives to understand the value of hard work. Even when you have everything served to you from from birth, like you're not gonna pan out in a super successful way. It doesn't really matter ultimately, because like when you're rich enough, when your family's rich enough, you could just like fail upwards. And there's a lot of people at the tippy top right now that have done that. You know what I mean? That have failed upwards now. But I think that there's always going to be adversity regardless, no matter what happens. And there's going to be different social hierarchies that we aspire towards, like, that we want to move towards, no matter what happens. Like those things can change, but I still do believe that like the systems are ultimately infinitely more powerful than we can imagine with the way that we exist inside of them. And that doesn't mean, you know, drop everything, be sad all the time and say, oh man, well I got fucked over, so fuck you. Of course, self-improvement is the best way to feel better about yourself as well, and to become a person that is even capable of making systemic change or to inspire others. It's literally what I do every day and try to instill in my audience as well. It's not a left or right thing.
Zooming out a little bit, I had a question for you.
Yeah, go for it.
What was your first day in the gym? What was the reason you first crossed that fucking threshold?
I remember the
reason why.
Yeah. Why did you first get in the gym?
Well, it originally started with sports because I played football when I was younger.
Sure.
And then I realized, wow, I really like lifting weights more than I really enjoy actually playing the sport of football.
Sure.
And I think for me was, and I'm going to try not to get emotional. Fuck, sorry. It's does it still happen? I'm so fucking old. I've done this so many times.
It's all right.
It's okay, man.
It was.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
No, that'll help me out. That'll
okay, you're good.
That'll help me out. So, I was trying to avoid these thoughts that I just always had in relationship to my father and his passing, and like the idea that why did this happen to me? Why do other people have what I don't have? How come I'm dealing with this? Why are these my circumstances? And I think I dealt with that for so long that like when I started like from six, and I'm like, I remember going to school, and like I remember the way I would like walk to school and what I would think about before school, what I would think about, like I was just nonstop in my mind. And I think when I found the gym, I was like, when I did the gym and I'm training, like so for example, the bench press, I was like, those thoughts, and it was the only time that they went away.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, I'm addicted to this shit. And I didn't realize it right away, but that's why I did it. Cause every time I did it, this cloud was like lifted.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I needed it. So it was like, fuck sports, fuck everything. I just wanted to not think about this shit that I could not, like I told you earlier, I recount. That's how I learn my whole life. Imagine like from six and I'm trying to figure out like, what's life? What's the purpose of life? Why did my dad kill himself? Why did he leave me? Am I not good enough? Why does that my friend have his dad? How come I don't have, and I'm just fucking nonstop doing this. And I found the gym and I'm like, oh, it's quiet.
It just hit the mute.
It's fucking quiet here. And I need that. And I think that's also why I'm the kind of person that I'm very like, I'm like, and I talk about these concepts about like self, because I was so focused inwards for so many years. And I was like, I have this like, you know, obviously, I don't know how to say it, kind of like dogged desire to make everyone feel the same way that I felt, but I know that that's not a reality and that can't happen. But like, I realized that's what helped me. And that's why I think I try to push it that way, even though I know there obviously are substantial systematic things that affect the way people could even act in a system in the world, et cetera. But yeah, man, I just, it disappeared. Everything was quiet. And so I was like, I need this. It.
Yeah.
I need this. So it was like, the more I did this, and I would just spend hours in the gym. Didn't matter what I was doing. And then I started to find people in the gym, father-like figures, older men that would be like, do this, do that. And I was like, whoa, then I like, this is what I was also looking for. And then it became this whole ecosystem of like, this is why I'm here. Like, I need this feeling because I was searching for it my whole life. I didn't have it. And I felt like I was finally getting it here, and I was reducing the noise, and I just felt more calm.
Do you feel like, in a way, you know, Arnold always said, sculptors, they work with clay, they're building, building with my, did you feel like there was also kind of a form of like expression? Like where what you were doing in the gym and your body and your output became like, obviously you turned it into a form of expression, right?
Yeah, you
made content around it. And
yeah, I think not so. That wasn't really like my love for it. I think I got to the point like when social media became a thing, because I didn't do working out because I was like, I'm going to be a social media influencer. Sure. Because that's a thing now today.
It just kind of happened.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah. But I think then once I started doing cool shit that people were like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. I thought it was cool that people thought it was cool. So sure. I was like trying different ways to like impress people.
Yeah.
But it was never so much like, oh, this form of art in a sense, as you're describing it. But I just need the fucking gym, man, because it made me feel good about myself.
Yeah. No, I totally understand the therapeutic nature of working out. And no matter what is going wrong in other avenues of your life, remember, I told you about this with respect to streaming. When I told you, like, I just cut out all the outside noise.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when I turn on my stream, it's definitely an addiction. But when I turn it on, like, everything else is quiet. I'm hyper-focused on entertaining 30,000, 40,000 people every single moment for the next 8 hours. And that's like
so crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome for me. And the gym is a similar thing as well, where like things might be going wrong in other aspects of my life, but like as soon as I'm in the gym, I'm laser focused on like achieving certain goals. You know what I mean? Pushing a certain weight week over week. And that is also therapeutic as well, where it's like other things might be going wrong, but at least I still have this, where I have some level of control.
Yeah.
And there are moments where, and I was talking to you about this as well, where like I'm dieting so well, but I'm still not, my body's like in protection mode and it's like still holding on to the fucking weight no matter what, like, right? That there are setbacks like that where you just feel like you're crazy. It's like these things that used to work for me are no longer working. What the fuck's going on? What do I have to change? But ultimately I just push through it and, you know, you get the results inevitably. And that is, that is something that gives you a lot of confidence that you can bring over to other aspects of your life. That's why I really love it and appreciate it. Even though I do understand, like I've mentioned over and over again, that like if you're poor, like not everyone has access to a fucking gym immediately. You know what I mean? Not everyone has access, unfortunately. I wish they did. And, you know, not everyone has the free time. If you're like so fucking stuck in poverty that like, you're literally taking care of your parents and you're working and then you don't have enough time to like work out on top of that. It's just like, there's always a way that you can like restructure your life in a way that you can, you know, figure it out. I guess there's resources available.
Dude, even if you just can do like push-ups and pull-ups,
yeah,
that's a solid workout for the most part.
100%.
Like all you could do, put a fucking
body squat.
All you need is like body weight squats. I mean, you could hold some random shit, but put a bar in a doorway and do fucking pull-ups and push-ups back to back and you can get a great workout.
Yeah.
Like as far as for that mental aspect of it, maybe if you're not trying to like, if you're trying to be like some bodybuilder, that might not be the most efficient way.
No, of course.
But not, like for the mental aspect, like just the 30 minutes, like nonstop routine like that, mental clarity that you're going to get from that is going to be crazy.
It's interesting. I think about it now. I couldn't do a single push-up when I was younger. I was so fat. And like what I started doing, and this is so weird. I don't think I've ever talked about this. What I started doing is when I was watching TV, I would like try to stay in push-up position for the duration of a commercial. I know that like some other celebrities, like I think talked about like doing push-ups during commercials and shit. Was it? Oh my God. It might be literally Herschel Walker. Actually, I think Herschel Walker.
You guys have a lot in common.
Yeah. Me and Herschel Walker, dude, we agree on the same political issues. But that's like, I didn't hear it from him, but it's just like one way that I was trying to like produce results in my life that are tangible that I can like immediately see was like, I would just like sit in push-up position, like shaking for like minute.
You want to hear some of my psychopathic tendencies? Cause I'm sharing yours.
Yeah.
It's not a psychopathic tendency, Bradley. What the
I'm
fuck?
Fucking with you. I'm fucking, mine are the ones that I'm about to share.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I remember in college when I was 18, I was in Sacramento State and I was so crazy into what I was doing, like training wise. And I was actually not as well versed in nutrition and diet and all this stuff as I am now, obviously, and as I was after this point, which I'll explain. Sorry, we did footsies under the table.
Yeah, we just touched.
That was kind of dope. That was dope. So I like what you said, the plank position thing. Once I started getting abs, I would never not flex my abs. I'm talking about. To the point, this is no.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about I would try to go to sleep with my abs flexed.
That's awesome.
Bro, it was the most OCD. It's crazy. Like, I would sit in class, no matter what, I'm like, my abs are tight. Yeah. And it was so bad, dude. Like, the reason why I want to share this story is because I got to the point.
Is it bad, though? I feel like you're bracing your core all the time. Oh, but you probably.
No, it was.
Fucks up your.
No. Not the physical act of it, but the mentality behind this whole need for this was a very negative one.
Yes.
Because not that was bad, But I got to the point, like at that point in my life, at 18 years old, my dick stopped working completely because I was dieting so hard and doing activity and this overworking, like crazy overworking. You know, we were talking earlier about this. Like,
yeah,
I did that to a degree where
you can do that if you.
Yeah.
Stop nutrients. Me? Yeah. I didn't even touch it. Okay.
I think it might be the noise gate too, man. No. It's not. It's just like
we gotta get a new cable.
Fully sucks it up. Okay, we'll get a new.
But we're good now.
So 18, dick stops working because you're overworking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm nonstop like training, and I was completely under eating, massively under eating, and it was so OCD where it was like. At every point of the day, if I put something in my mouth, I was eating.
You're burning it off.
I was like going to the bathroom doing push-ups till I'm sweating. I'm like, I'd go back to my dorm and I'd do curls till like I couldn't curl anymore. I'd do push-ups till I couldn't do push-ups anymore.
Jesus Christ.
It was such a problem literally laying in bed trying to go to sleep.
He loves it.
And I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep. And I'm like laying down flat like with my abs tense until like, and I'm like staying up all night. Like I'm not getting sleep. I get to the point where like, I'm waking up like every 15 minutes peeing because my body's like, what I understand now doing the research after is like slowly eating itself, like breaking down like the protein of my muscle to like create enough energy to sustain my body because I was so under eating that I'm like pissing every like 15 minutes at night. This is a real problem.
You're burning like 4,000, 5,000 calories just because you're constantly active.
But not just that, but also.
And you don't have enough food in it, so you can't sustain it. So it's like eating away at the muscle that you built.
Exactly that. But I would ride a bike, like a BMX bike, 45 minutes to a gym, do 45 minutes on a fucking elliptical, train for an hour.
Okay, you're.
Ride the bike back.
What do you think you were burning?
Bro, I was literally killing myself.
That's when
I
think about it.
Like my dick stopped working where I was like, I was like,
Michael Phelps, you know how like people talk about Michael Phelps, like when he's training for Olympic, you know, swimming, he was eating like his burn rate was like 8,000 calories a day. Like I assume that's what
I was killing myself.
Yeah.
Like, legit. Like, and I remember like I remember people were like, yo, are you good? Like, I was like, no, I'm great. Cause I have abs, you know, like it was delusional. It was like some shit. I really went through some shit that was like, that was not a healthy time in my life.
No.
But the cool thing about it was as soon as my dick stopped working and about 6 months go by and I'm like literally I'd have a girl over and it'd be just like, I'd be like, what the fuck is, and I didn't, this is all new to me. I'm 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I need to fix this. So I went to my doctor and he tries to give me like, he's like, try this like Viagra, like Cialis shit. I'm like,
18?
Exactly. Right.
The fuck?
That exactly.
That is another component of like, that is something I fucking despise. We could talk about that in a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me finish this. So anyways, I didn't take it. I was just like, he's like, but you should probably eat more. And like, that was the thing. It was like, and I was like, okay, so I start eating more and the thing that I did, I was like, okay, why is my dick not working? And I started learning about hormones. And then I start reading all this stuff about diet and nutrition and how it affects your hormones and how it's synthesized in the body and how all this stuff is so closely related to what you eat.
Yeah.
But that's when I learned so much and became really enamored with the actual science behind what happens in the body. And that's when I started to learn about it. And then it took me about 7 to 8 months because like I started eating again. And then my dick finally started working like maybe 3 months. And then I got kind of like little pudgy, little fatter because like my body had a pretty much drastic yo-yo
effect. Yeah.
And then I kind of like balanced it out. So it took maybe like a year and a half to feel like normal again.
Yeah.
But this was a life-changing part of my life.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, your self-help book, it's titled, Okay, Why Is My Dick Not Working?
Dude, it was tough.
One thing that you mentioned there, your doctor's immediate solution is
that's
like...
I hate 18 that. Years old, that's crazy,
I hate that because like that is how that is... Literally, I'm sorry to say this, but a byproduct of capitalism where like, because our medical system is so reliant on constantly fucking driving profit when medicine is not supposed to be for profit. This, and it usually isn't anywhere else around the world. You know what I mean? It's like they have socialized system in place for a fucking reason. But in America, that shit is like super on overdrive. That's why we pay 10 times more for like insulin and shit. You know what I mean? Than any other goddamn country. Yeah. But like, it's one of the things that has also created the opioid crisis that like our doctors are trained to basically sell you product.
Prescribe.
Whereas like pain management is such a complicated thing that should factor physical therapy in it. It has to have physical therapy. Like when you injure yourself... this happens to me sometimes. Like, I'm in the gym. I injure myself. I go to the doctor. Doctor's like, all right, put you on ibuprofen at least. I'm like, I don't want that. I want fucking, I need physical therapy. Like, I need physical therapy so I can, like, fix the issue rather than fucking, like, just dull the pain. Yeah. Because the pain is there because of a muscular imbalance, or the pain is there because of, like, something I'm doing physically that's wrong, right? Yeah. Like, I have maybe overdeveloped, like, I have gamer neck. I'm sure you see this all the time. Everyone, most people now have this because they're, like, sitting like this all day, yeah. right?
Or they're like this on the phone.
Yeah, so you have like, overdeveloped, you know, front delts and overdeveloped, your traps are overdeveloped.
Yeah.
But then your, like, back is underdeveloped, so you have no scap muscles.
Yep.
And you have to work that. You have to make sure that there's some balance there because all muscles work like fucking this. And if you're only working on this, and this one is like constantly stretching, the moment that you have to activate it, the moment that you have to activate the other side, you injure yourself.
Yeah.
And like, people don't think about it like that and immediately just go, just dull the pain. There's no issue with, like, you know, if you have chronic pain or whatever, obviously, you know, this is really important. I'm not like an anti-medicine guy at all, but there are certain physical ailments that absolutely require physical therapy, but because that's, like, super complicated and super expensive and not as profitable.
Those do not include 18-year-old impotence,
though. No. But it's the same. It's the same mentality of, like, instead of having a more holistic approach to your health, because the body is, like, a very complex thing, right? Instead of looking at, like, all of the other things that you were genuinely doing wrong,
hugely doing
immediately
wrong.
They're like, all right, how do we solve the problem? Your dick's not working. Here's Viagra. That's insane.
No, it is insane.
I fucking hate that.
And there's also so many other things you could do. Like, as far as, like, we talk about, like, ibuprofen and all this type shit. Like, there's so many other things you could do that are just, like, more natural remedies. And there's other supplements that are actually really beneficial for the rest of your body that help reduce inflammation that you could also just take.
Turmeric,
Boswellia serrata. There's all these different things that lower inflammation in the body that people just, like, they just rather give you a pill that is actually slightly liver toxic, and these other things are not at all. And it's just like, it's just create blood thinning. It does all these other things in the body that is like not necessary to fix the problem that, like you're saying, is more largely dependent on, like, fixing your fucking posture.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's like, we're not, no, that's the thing. Like,
but if you don't, because if you don't do that, if you don't fix your posture, if you don't actually figure out where the fucking issue is and then work to, like, you know, work against your muscular imbalances and, like, you know, fix the problem, you're going to run into the same problem again.
Yeah.
And then you're going to need to dull the pain again. And it doesn't matter because you didn't fix anything. You just...
Taking medication. Bro, and this is why I keep talking about this whole thing about self and all these problems we have in the world, et cetera. It's like, at the end of the day, it is us having to fucking deal with the situation and the circumstances and trying to learn about ourselves in relationship to them. Like, what do we actually need to fix? It's like, a lot of times, like, all we can really do is something that's from us. Right? Because we can't, obviously, we want to affect change, right? I know that's important for you, but, like, at the same time, in order to do that, we have to be well suited to do that. We have to be willing to do that within ourselves first.
Yeah.
I got to piss real quick.
Fine. I mean, I was just about to say on that note, yeah, let's, you know, where can people find you? We're going to move on to the paywalled portion of the broadcast where we're going to be looking at gym talks and stuff as well.
Okay.
And talk about some more, you know, issues surrounding the self and mind and improvement. Where can people find you, Bradley?
Instagram at Bradley Martin, Bradley Martin with a Y. I'm on YouTube. You can just probably have like four channels. Raw Talk, if you guys like the podcast, I'd appreciate everyone to go subscribe. That's actually the fun I have making content is this kind of content. So Raw Talk is my podcast. I'm at Zoo Culture at Encino every day. It's on Ventura Boulevard. Yeah, stop by. Literally, I'm there around 11 o'clock. Come say hi.
All right, perfect. All right, we'll see you on the other side, everybody. Patreon.com/FearAnn.
No.
Not live.
Oh shit, it's lit. You did a good job.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Even if we're talking about the idea of being alpha male versus non-alpha male and like talking about or saying I have this or showing I have that, are you an alpha male? Do you consider yourself that?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck it means, but I am a very secure person.
Okay. So
I'm a confident person. I'm confident in my ability to achieve goals that I set out for myself.
That sounds alpha.
And I feel like I've accomplished enough in my life that my accomplishments speak for themselves. I don't have to constantly fucking, you know, be like, oh, I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the brightest.
Okay. So on that point, right, you sound like an alpha male to me. And you said you don't have to speak about your things. There is another thing here, though, that's at play, which is like the need to also speak about other people's things, right? The need to say he's not alpha because of these reasons is also indicative of someone who's not. And if we're just talking about being alpha, it is what it is. Like, I think there's certain things, like, you know, you're welcome to criticize anyone for whatever you want, obviously, because that's the internet and it's the world we live in. But there are also ways to look at it where it's like, is it also necessary to say so-and-so's this or so-and-so's that because they're doing these things that I don't necessarily agree with or would do myself?